I have benefits today in my life as a result of technology that I find greatly important. Most notably, my ability to leave myself notes. Not just to leave myself notes, but to leave myself notes in such a way that my notes remind me of things in advance. I love to set alarms on my phone. I love to have dates and events that my phone tells me a day or two in advance. Remember, you need to go to your eye doctor appointment, or on your way home today, don't forget to pick up milk and bread at the grocery store on your way home. I'd love to say that this is a sign that I recognize that I'm getting older and need a little extra help remembering things, but I've always been terrible at remembering things. It's not as though I just someday said, hey, I need to write myself a note. It was just, in the past, it was whatever scrap of paper I could lay my hands on in any given moment and write down for myself, remember to pick up bread and milk and orange juice from the grocery store on your way home. Inevitably, I would get 3/4 of the way home, well past the grocery store, feel in my pocket and go, why do I have paper in my pocket? Oh yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to bring bread and milk and orange juice home, and then I'd have to turn the car around and go back to the grocery store. I love to leave myself lists, because it is a necessity in life, because life is busy. I don't know if your life is tremendously, tremendously busy, but I will tell you all this, especially when I'm meeting with my colleagues, especially when I'm meeting with other clergy people, but I think this is universal. And I will say to them, how are you doing? And you know, there's a difference between the question that you ask a person that you are not wanting to have a conversation with. How are you doing? I'm good. How are you? Great. But that actual how are you doing that you ask somebody, where you make a little extra eye contact and you emphasize the syllables a little bit more, and you give that sincere, so how are you doing? And that's their signal to you to not give the publicly all right answer of, I'm fine, how are you? But to actually say what they mean, which, most of us don't. And I like to have those conversations with my colleagues where I give them that look and say, how are you doing? Inevitably, the response that I will hear back sounds something like, I am so busy. And I think as a nation, we have a busyness epidemic. There is never a time, I think, in any of our schedules when we find it such that it is easy to make time for a thing. Because if we're going to make time for a thing, that probably means we're going to need to move 4 other things around because they've already occupied our time. And we are busy. Busy list makers. And of course, there are important things to be remembered. There is a Christian flaw that I like to think of as theological list making. When we as Christians go to the text and we find lists of things that God has held up as virtues, or lists of things that God has held up as vices. Jesus is in fact, in the Beatitudes, that's the name that we give to the sermon that Jesus was giving in today's gospel text. We call it the Beatitudes. He's giving this list of things that are blessed, and things that are woes. And as Christians who are list makers, sometimes we want to try to figure out how we can check mark off as many of those things that are good and limit ourselves, or at least excuse ourselves from the things that are bad. But of course, Jesus isn't giving us a grocery list of behaviors and actions. He's not saying, do these things and you'll be acceptable in God's sight. He's not saying, I want you to go out and make sure that you're extra this or extra not that. So much so as he's simply recognizing some certainties in the human condition. This isn't a grocery list. The Beatitudes are not God saying, accomplish these things and you'll be okay. What he's saying is, these are the realities of your situation, and I need you to look at them in a new way. And we are here today on the Sunday that we celebrate All Saints Day. And we have another list in front of us. We have a list of names and that we're going to remember, accompanied by Jesus' list of the Beatitudes, one of which says, "Blessed are you who mourn." And isn't that why we're here today? We're here to remember loved ones, those who are no longer with us, those whom we care deeply about, those whose lives impacted us in ways that cannot be undone, and whose deaths likewise impacted us. We're here to mourn, and we are here to figure out what it means to be blessed as those who mourn. Because if you are mourning, it is hard to find the blessing, because we feel the sorrow. We feel the loss. And this is what our heart experiences most deeply. But again, Jesus isn't giving a grocery list of things that if you can prove to God that you've done, God will put his stamp of approval on your forehead. No. What Jesus wants us to do is to recognize our human brokenness, our human weakness. Because, of course, there is no one alive on the face of the planet who does not lose. There's no one who has ever given breath, even a moment in their lives, who has not suffered loss and disappointment. It is a part of all our lives. And what do? Do we stand before God and say, "Woe is me, I have lost, I am broken"? What Jesus here is saying is, you are blessed because you have a God who hears. Because you have a God who cares. Because you have a God who responds when you cry out in your loss and your hopelessness and your sorrow, when you have nothing left to stand on and every ounce of firm ground has slipped out from underneath your feet and you don't know what you're going to do next, we have a God who will step in and provide us the strength and the hope and the ability to carry on. We are blessed not because we are strong, we are weak. It is our human nature. We are blessed because we have a God who provides us his own strength for our own. We stand on the promise of Jesus Christ because we can stand on nothing else firm. In Christ and in Christ alone, we are promised life, life abundant, life that overcomes death, and life that truly continues after death. We gather together today to light candles for those who have passed and are no longer with us. But we also light candles to remember that they are now with our Father in heaven and that their lives continue on and that we will one day be reunited with him, and we take that as our comfort and our hope. And in this we are truly blessed, because it is God's strength that we lean on, not our own. And God's strength does not fail. Now, as humans, we like to think that our strength doesn't fail. We like to think that we are capable of incredible things. Sometimes we are. On our best days, we're magnificent. On our best days, everything goes right. And sometimes we just can carry through doing the right thing at the right moment, and not once stumbling. And then there are those days, and sometimes those days stretch out into weeks or months or years, where we discover that our strength has failed us and we fall flat on our faces. Are we to say, "Woe to me because my strength has failed me"? No. Are we to say, "Woe to me because I've given in to my mourning, my loss, and my sorrow"? No. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Blessed are you Why? Because we have a God who wants to pick us back up again. We have a God who wants to give us strength again. We have a God who loves us and cares for us so much so that he gave his only son to die for us in order that we might live again. So this is what we celebrate today. We celebrate that God is in our midst, that God looks upon our broken condition, not with anger, not with condemnation, but with compassion and with hope and with an offer of strength, an offer to lift us up from our brokenness, our loss and our sorrow, and set us on our feet with his promise, his hope, and his strength. And this is why we gather together today.